For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot going on in the NFL. While we're playing cool in the gang, chilling on a victory Monday, wondering where the pizza's coming from, not so easy in the Big Easy. Saints fire head coach Dennis Allen. They should. That guy sucks. He never should have gotten the job. That actually might be an example of white privilege for that dude to get that job, but regardless. Now, Saints just fired their head coach. And
Michael Thomas was lighting them up yesterday.
Trade deadline is tomorrow afternoon. Sell. Like, why wouldn't you sell if you're New Orleans? I just see this per Schefter. With New Orleans firing Dennis Allen, questions remain about what the Saints will do before the 4 p.m. Eastern trade deadline tomorrow as the team holds a 2-7 record. Pro Bowl cornerback Marshon Lattimore is among the players teams have inquired about. I don't know. Like, maybe tomorrow we go hard on the trade deadline because who knows what will happen tomorrow afternoon. I do think Washington, they have an obligation to be active in conversations, but nothing more than that. And yeah. And I'm fully aware that football seasons are very finite resources, and this team is quite good. But I think if you talk to Peters and Quinn and Harris and Kingsbury and Joe Witt, like, they don't think this is some fluke that they have to absolutely press the gas on right now because it might all fall apart.
Yeah, I think this. They understand that they're getting out of these players what they want to get out of the players, and I think Joe has mentioned it almost every week about people learning exactly what they want, and then it start to look good for you. That's what you're seeing right now,
and I think what you're seeing right now. Yesterday, the rush defense, they got attacked early on in that game. The Giants clearly had a plan, and they just ran the absolute hell out of the football. And it largely worked early on, but they weren't kind of able to convert it to points. And yeah, then with Jaden's quick strike ability and how good that offense was, Lavo writes the questions, right? And I'll present this fairly. Giants ran the ball well early in this game. They really did. Is that a cause for concern, Brian?
I would say no, because they ran the ball, they got down, and they got a field goal. They hunkered down. As the game went on, and I think
they got that one touchdown early on.
The situation of the game changed where they had to start throwing the ball, and their runs wasn't being as effective late as they were early. So they made an adjustment. That's what I said earlier about
creating the turnover really changed a lot.
Yeah. So what happens is a lot of times they were in position to make the play. I will just say this here to every defensive player out there. You cannot play a whole football game without going to the ground. So every player tries to throw a forearm or shoulder or the elbow, like, or they want to just, as a guy's falling, they push him down, wrap up, and take your ass to the ground too. That's how you make tackles in the NFL. Because you're not going to tackle too many guys just bumping them.
At halftime of that game, the Giants had rushed for 142 yards.
Yeah.
That's pretty significant. But they finished the game at 164 yards.
Yeah.
So there was some weird schizophrenic situations with the Giants offense, but a lot of that was created by the Washington offense.
Yeah.
It looked discombobulated. Cliff, Jaden, DQ, the whole operation, Dave Gardy deserves some credit. Like, their operation at end of halves has been really smooth. They've gotten a lot of points.
They are aggressive.
Right, they're aggressive, and without they run it clean.
Without looking like they're out of control.
Right.
You know, they have like a when you see things that are chaotic, you look like you don't know what the hell you're doing. But they're aggressive, and they're very calm with it. And I think that kind of throws off the team you're going against.
yesterday, right before halftime, they Allegretti had the holding call, brought back a big gainer. They looked discombobulated. And the one thing that I think in the first segment, we did a really good job of talking about Jeremy Chinn and Dante Fowler, OZ, Austin Eckler, Noah Brown, Terry McLaurin. But you know what else this team has? I think all of a sudden you've got a well-coached team with some good depth, with playmakers all over the roster, mm-hmm. and you're not only relying on two or three people whose jerseys are for sale in the team store. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people involved.
Yeah.
And you got to give everybody credit. We've been on the air for 37 minutes now. But Jaden Daniels is that freaking dude.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, sometimes the bad penalty happens and the coaches seem confused. You got to burn timeouts. And, like, things just aren't going right. And then he makes two perfect throws and it's 21-7 at halftime.
Yeah.
Like, when you have what seems to be a really well-built operation and then you have that freaking dude at quarterback... That's a recipe for we don't know how far this can go.
What I like about the offensive scheme and what I like about this team, they do what they need to do to win their games. They don't ever get into a point where late in the game they're just chucking it so they can have certain numbers. We watched that here in this town for a long time where you're winning a game or you're losing, they're going to make sure that the guy has 300 yards passing. They don't care about that. They care about winning a damn football game. And it says a lot about Dan, Cliff, and even Jaden to where, dude, man, we winning the game. I don't care about that. And I've seen too many times where we are down and we're chucking it around so we can say, well, he passed for 300. We've heard coaches in this town go, well, he's passing for over 300 yards a game. Yeah, but you're losing every damn game. So what difference does it make?
Last year.
You know?
Like, probably by this time last year, past the halfway point, people realized that the – passing yardage was kind of hollow with Howell because of the way they ran their offense. And there were a lot of things. But, like, you could talk yourself into whatever stats you want. If you don't watch that game and see the incredible high-difficulty throws Jaden makes, the composure he keeps at all times on the field, and then the playmaking ability, not to mention on fourth downs for the season, they're now 11 of 11.
They're 100% still. Dude.
And – his legs allow them to be really aggressive because it's damn near a cheat code. Like, you need two. You'd love that Brian Robinson, but you line this young man up in shotgun. You run that little QB power with an option if he needs to. It's pretty difficult.
It is.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pretty difficult to defend.
And every time he's on the edge and you have defensive backs back there, linebackers with the 2 to 3 receivers that he's coming at, you don't know what to do. You drop back too far, he runs it. If you come up, he pops it right across the top. So, I mean, listen, every coach is supposed to find out what talent they have and use that talent and use plays to let them allow them to go out there and play to the best of their abilities. I believe offensively they have done that with everybody. C-Rod hadn't gotten a chance much this year. He got in the game yesterday. He ran that thing like he was like, look, I want some more opportunities.
11 for 52, 4.7 a pop.
Yeah.
And closed the door late in that game.
True.
I mean, Rodriguez is an interesting situation. He's now been elevated 3 times, so they have to keep him on the active.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of an interest. Well, you don't have to, but to get him back to your practice squad, you have to release him, and then somebody could claim him. Interesting kind of subplot to watch there. For me, it is so great that over the last 20 years, we've largely examined teams with, like, significant flaws, with fatal flaws. Now we're kind of looking at a team that, you know, they got a stub toe and a paper cut on their finger, and you got to figure out how to prevent those things. But, like, coming out of yesterday's game, the rush defense in the first half, I think, was problematic.
Yeah.
But I talked to Wagner in the locker room about it afterwards. I was like, what do you equate that with how much you struggled? He's like, listen, man, we got to make some tackles. But they showed a commitment to the run you very rarely see.
Yeah.
And then when we were able to adjust to it, it kind of slowed that down.
Yeah.
It is pretty rare for a team to run the ball like they did. And I think it perhaps.
They were getting 8, 9, and 10 whenever they ran it.
Right.
But it did change early in the second half. And I believe this, okay? We always talk about playing complementary football. If your offense is as efficient and as deadly as Washington's offense has been, I'm watching the game, I'm like, okay, we get one stop on defense, we get a touchdown after that, ball game's over. Now, because every offensive coordinator I've ever seen, they may say, oh, we got to stick to our game plan. They go down by 7 points, they're letting that ball fly. And that's exactly what they did yesterday. You know what I'm saying? But once Washington took the lead, they changed their mindset. And it's hard to stay there, especially when you know that this other offense can go down and score again. We can't keep just running and giving it back to them.
Right.
So we got to start trying to chuck it too. And if you don't have somebody that can really chuck it, you got problems.
Totally. It is a remarkable situation. I think in the first half, the run defense was an issue.
Yeah.
I think in the second half, the red zone woes showed up again. They were 3-for-3 in the red zone in the first half, 0-for-2 in the second, two mm-hmm. field goals. Now that overall efficiency, 3 out of 5 in the red zone touchdowns.
Well, I believe they would have had a touchdown if they just won and won when they got down there to the and they kneeled.
But the kneel down is not the one I'm talking about. The mm-hmm. two prior where they had to kick field goals.
Yeah, yeah.
Seibert hit a 31 and a 20-yarder. You don't ever want your kicker kicking a 20-yarder. At the same time, they probably could have been more aggressive there, but they were up double digits.
Yeah,
so just take the points. I can wrap my head around all of it. I think the task coming to town this week, significantly better than the Giants. I think the Steelers' defense is going to be the best they've faced all year. I think the Steelers' edges.
I was talking to a guy yesterday in the stadium. He's a Steelers fan. He said, yep, our defense is good. Three people. He said, you got chances against the other guys.
Minka Highsmith-Watt can play.
Yes.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.